So how many people have your Bible today? If you have your Bible, stand up and raise it in the air and bear witness of God's Word. Beautiful. You may be seated. Turn, if you will, to the book of Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. I guess over the last several weeks, I have heard this word that has stuck in my mind and stuck in my mind. No matter where I went, it was as if God was raising my attention to this word. And normally that's how a sermon starts. It can be just a word. It can be just something that gets the mind rolling, and then you search through the scriptures. But I remember listening on TV, and they were interviewing this child, and the child was giving a description of themselves, and they said, "Well, I'm really into this. I'm into doing this, and I'm into doing that." They were interviewing a child that was going to be adopted, and they were trying to give a background on them. They said, "Well, I'm really into this." And then I've been sitting in a lot of waiting rooms and looking at the literature that they have there. They've got literature there for people that are into hunting, literature there for people that are into home repair, into decorating, into fishing, into all kind of things. So I know we're at a time of year where, you know, the sports bug is big. We've moved to football and basketball, and man, people are really into their team and into their sport, and they advertise it, they wear it around, they defend it. And then people just have hobbies. How many in here are into hunting, into golfing, into shopping? Hey, I knew that was going to raise some. So we get into stuff. And sometimes as we get into things, it almost is our defining thing. Here's what we're into. When you're into something, you're focusing on it. You're thinking about it. It's what you are. It's really a part of who you are and your person. You're trying to plan around it. It's what brings you pleasure. You're into it. It has piqued your interest. Through my life, I look back and I can see all the different things that I was into. And today, I want you to see what Paul was saying in Galatians. And then I want you to see what Jesus was preaching, because in all these things, life offers us a lot of different opportunities and different things to be into. But none of them will give you the eternal peace, the joy that will come with being into Christ. And I'm not saying, don't take this away and say, "Oh, he's going to preach against us enjoying these other things." Absolutely not. I think the Bible tells us to enjoy, to be able to enjoy life and be able to enjoy these things. But what happens is, in the midst of all this, we become so into things that we're not into the main thing. Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, verses 22 through 29. "But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." When we read this scripture, Paul was trying to explain to them exactly how it happened. He was speaking to the church at Galatia. Understand that Jesus, as we'll read later on, was speaking on this same issue. And it was about what you've put yourself into. I want to explain that it didn't just happen that God said, "Oh, well, I'll send Jesus." This was a fulfillment of a promise that he made back to Abraham in the book of Genesis. And what happens a lot of times is even us Christians, we accept the fact and we believe that there's a God. We've believed in Jesus to save us, but we don't even want to know how it got to this point. I believe that your belief becomes stronger when you know how it got to this point. So we do a little history, a little background this morning so that you can see how we can be into Christ. We can put ourselves in Christ. Listen as Galatians chapter 3, for as many of you, verse 27, for as many as you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. This word baptized into Christ, make no mistake, this is not talking about a water baptism. Baptized means to be put into. The Greek word bapto, we get our word baptism, but bapto means to dip, to put into, the process of immersion, submergence, and emergence. But he's not talking about the water in this case. He's talking about being put into Christ. Now, how are we put into Christ? We're put into Christ by our belief. That's the only way that we're put into Christ. We can't be put into Christ anymore, as Paul stated, by observing the Old Testament law. You say, well, then is the law any good? The law was God's mind. So you have to understand that the law was the way God wanted us to be able to come to Him and obey Him. So I don't do away with the law. The law was God's mind to be able to walk with Him. But it's not what saves us. It's the obedience. You see, you used to have to come to God by those obedient laws to come to God and offer sacrifice. That's how you came into the presence of God. You had to come with sacrifice. But understand, the scripture here he talks about in verse 22 when he says, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now, I want to explain this in this simple verse, in a simple way. The scripture hath concluded all under sin. The whole world, you and I, we are all separated from God by our sin. God is a holy and righteous God. How many people believe that? Are you holy and righteous in your own fleshly nature? No. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God made a promise to a man named Abraham, and this promise was that through his seed, the whole world would be blessed. If you want to reference this, you can go back to Genesis chapter 22. And as God asked Abraham, and you remember the story, of Abraham and Isaac as he went up to offer Isaac? God asked Abraham to take his son Isaac to Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice to prove his love to God. Abraham obeyed, and God stopped him from sacrificing his son Isaac. But God told him, because you're willing to prove your love to me, because you believe in who I am, because you're willing to demonstrate it, I will provide a lamb for the sacrifice. That's something just to praise God about. Now, God promised Abraham in Genesis 22:18, you can reference this on your notes. He said this, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. So let me tell you something. Our promise goes all the way back to here. And if you find any of those people that you're with that are just saying there is nothing that we need to know in the Old Testament, understand that the promise goes all the way back to the Old Testament. Unless you want to just blindly be able to go in and not be able to explain anything, then shut the Old Testament. But God's mind is in the Old Testament. He's telling us this promise in Galatians, the New Testament. You couldn't have the new without the old. He's saying this promise has been fulfilled. Paul would say, the promise God made has been fulfilled. Listen to the verse again, verse 22, Galatians 3. He says, but Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. That's powerful. But the promise that he's talking about goes all the way back. Thy seed, that we were told in Genesis 28, 22, 18, when God said, thy seed was a singular form. He spoke in many instances, and you just have to be able to reference the Bible and go down and be able to see in translation whether it's singular or plural. He said seed a lot of times when it spoke about the whole children of Israel. But in verse 18, thy seed, in thy seed shall all be blessed. He's talking about that descendant of Abraham that we know as Jesus Christ. If it were not so, then the gospel wouldn't start with the account of man to see that Jesus came as a descendant of Abraham, the fulfillment of God's promises, the seed of Abraham. Jesus was that lamb that God provided as he told Abraham, stop. Jesus was the lamb that Abraham trusted when he told Isaac, God will provide a lamb. Jesus is the promise of God to all mankind. And Paul was telling the Galatians and telling us today that Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise. But in order for us to receive God's promise, we have to put our belief in Jesus as the promise. Notice verse 22 again. But the scripture hath concluded that all are under sin. Are we all under sin? And everybody in here sinned? Make sure we're on the same page. If there's anybody here that has not sinned, we're going to schedule. You need to be preaching, not me. That the promise by faith, that means by believing in Jesus Christ, might be given to them. By faith in the promise. Now, when you get to verse 26, we read that Paul said, for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, you'll be told today, and your children will be told today, because it's just a good, feel-good world. You'll be told by most of the religious institutions that are in the public mainstream, and for all those that come in today that don't want to offend anybody and they want you to come in and leave feeling great, you'll be told when you walk into this room that we are all God's children. We are just all God's children. We are in the family of God. Understand something. You're not in the family of God until you put your belief into Christ. Now, every child that came up here this morning that doesn't know and doesn't understand the principle of that, do you understand that God's grace covers them? Covers them. They can't refuse Him because they don't have knowledge. But listen, when we get to an age where we hear the gospel, any person of a cognitive mind hears the gospel and they don't accept it, then they've refused the promise that they have to come to God through Jesus Christ. They've refused it. For that refusal, then the punishment of sin happens. You see, we're not all God's children because we stand and sing, we're all God's children. We're not God's children because it sounds like a warm and fuzzy world and it makes everybody feel good. Something has to happen for you to be put into the family of God. Hold on a second. To be baptized into Christ. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's how we're children of God, by faith in Christ Jesus. It did not stop by saying, for ye are all children of God. It said, for ye are all children of God by faith. There takes an act on our part in order to come into the family of God. Because your mother and dad went to church, because my mother and dad went to church, because I went to class and learned what I was supposed to do when I was young, because I know about God, does it bring me into the family of God? I have to put my faith and belief into Him, to be baptized into Him. The only way that we can come into the family of God is to believe that Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise. We come into God's family by accepting Jesus as the promise. We come into His family. Has anybody in here come into His family? Anybody? Let me ask you this question. Are you into Him as much as we're into whatever it was a minute ago that you said that you were into? Those things that we would get up early, we seek the day before, we're planning to go and do it. Here's what's going to happen tomorrow. Why? Because I'm into it. We would travel, we would put that here. I'm into it, man. you've got people that follow racing and follow the drama that goes behind it. And he said this to him and this said this to this. You got people that are into TV shows and, hey, listen, did you know that they said this and they said that? They're into it, right? Their world is into it. Are you into, child of God, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, are you into him? I think, and I speak to Christians, we have so many choices of things to be into that we can find ourselves standing at a distance, not really into the person that has received us into his promise. And I have to tell you, all of eternity is going to be about being into God. Your blessings that you will receive on this earth, your favor, your peace, will be associated with how into Christ you are. Why? Because he rewards it. He blesses it. His blessing comes on those that are into. You put your faith into him, but you can't just leave it alone after that. I want you to listen. Verses 27 through 29 here of Galatians 3. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So make a note, in order to be put into Christ, we have to put on Christ. That means we have to cover ourselves with our belief. Can anybody remember the day you were saved and you realized, I'm lost? There's nothing more important than for me to bow before God, proclaim to him that I'm a sinner, ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart and put my belief by confession of my mouth and by believing in my heart. I put my belief in him today. Remember that day? Didn't it feel like you just covered yourself in your belief? What could stop you? I remember I was thinking, man, as soon as he gets through preaching, as soon as he stopped talking, I'm there. I'm leaving my seat and going, because I thought at that time that, hey, listen, if Jesus comes back before I get up there, maybe I need to say this in my seat. I was so engulfed to be able to put it on me. I wanted his love on me. I wanted his protection. I wanted fellowship with him. And I realized Jesus was my only way. So I had to put on Christ. But I think sometimes we forget that when we're put into Christ, let me read what Paul says, for as many as you have been baptized, put into Christ, have put on Christ. How many of you realize when you got saved, you put on Christ? You put him on. You covered yourself in his belief. You put him on and you said, be my Savior. Give my life to you. Give your life to you. You put him on. But do we keep him on? Are we putting him off and putting him on? Putting him off, putting him on. I remember a time in my Christian walk, as I got to a certain age and had been saved since I was 11 or 12, and then I realized the rest of the world is doing this, and they're into this, and they're into that. And as I got older, and in school, I wanted to be into this group, and into that group, and into this sport, and into that sport. And those people weren't into Christ, so I had to make a decision. So I took him off, right? And what did I put on? I put on whatever they were wearing. And so I was this person when I was at church, but then when I wasn't at church and I was around those people that talked that other way and acted that other way, then I took him off. And I was hoping so bad. There was one girl that went to church with me and to school, and that's the only one that I had to make sure didn't blow my cover. Oh, act like I'm the only one. No, I took him off. I put my whole life into my belief, and then I took him off. Why? Well, because I was into the other stuff. Did you hear me? Because I was into the other stuff. You see, if you're into something, you're focused on it. You can't wait to participate in it, like that thing that you're into that excites you. When you're into it, there should be an excitement this morning about coming in here. I'm going to come in and hear the Word of God. I'm going to come in and be able to fellowship. I'm going to come in and sing praises to Him. You say, I'm just not getting that. I'm just not feeling it. Well, then it's because you're not into Him. I've been there where I wasn't into him, where I made a choice each time whether I wanted to go to church or not based on how I felt because I might be into something else. And you say, well, I just don't have time because I'm into things that are not frivolous. I'm into my children. Listen, belief into your children won't get you or your children into fellowship with God. Belief in God and getting your children into him will not only get them in fellowship with God, it'll get them into heaven. What are you into? I'm just not into that. I'm just not feeling that. Well, people can read what we're into now that we have social media. Defines us, doesn't it? Those of us that use it. The promise, verse 28, Galatians 3, has been extended. Again, he reiterates, has been extended. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Verse 29. You say, well, yes, he's just speaking to those of Jewish descent. Well, you miss verse 28 then. Hold on a second. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We were able to inherit the promise to be heirs of God if we put our belief into him. I think I've stressed that point enough. But understand, as we talk about being baptized into him, being put into Christ, to be baptized in Christ means that we've been put into Christ, which means we put our faith into him. It's explained in Romans chapter 6. I'll read it to you if you don't want to turn. But Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of God the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When we're put into Christ, we're put into our belief puts us into Christ. We believe that Jesus lived a sinless life so that he could be a sacrifice for our sins. We believe that he died for us. We believe that he was buried. We believe that he rose again. In the same way that he died to our sin, when we accept Jesus and put our belief in him, Paul is saying, we not only have a new life, we need to die to the old life. What do you mean? We need to die to what we were into when we were into something more than we were into him. It doesn't mean you need to stop enjoying the things that you enjoy. It's just that God is looking to see what you're really into. And we justify what we're into. Well, I'm into my work and I'm into making money because I've got to support my family. Listen, pal, you've never supported your family on a day that God hadn't allowed you to support it. So you need to get into him. He's the one that gives you the breath and the cognitive ability to make that deal you just made or do that job you're doing. If you're not into him, listen, you're chasing a pipe dream. You're thinking it's all because of you. You need to get into him. Your family's depending on him, not you. Amen. I'm into this. No, God asks you to be into him. You were baptized into him. You were put into him. We observe the water baptism that goes with this word baptized. See, when you get saved, your baptism happens at the moment you get saved. You were put into God. How? Through Jesus Christ. You were put into him at that moment. Guess what? The Holy Spirit is put into you. You've made an agreement when you've got saved that said, hey, listen, I believe in your promise that I can come to you through Jesus Christ, who was revealed all the way back in Genesis. And this is God's promise that his seed, Jesus, will be able to bless us for this life and eternity. And as he said in Galatians 3, that we'll be heirs with him. That means forever heirs. Jesus said this, if you accept the love of God, that he loved you, and you believe in your heart, then you're going to have eternal life. That's a huge promise. He's just reiterating the promise that God made back to Abraham. But if you're into that, then you're living in the promise. If you're into something else, you will find yourself the same way that I was for years. I'd accepted the promise, but I was living in my own thing. And I could go and hear about him, and I didn't want to have anybody talking bad about him, but listen, I was from a distance. I wasn't close to him. How could I be close to him and into him if I was into something else more than him? When I was a child, I attended a church that believed a certain way, and my mom and dad told me that I was baptized. That was nice, and it was a nice service, and they kept these things, but I don't remember anything about it. That was a decision that they made, and I think it was good, and all the family came, and this and that, but they baptized me. They gave me and said, hey, listen, we're going to give him Lord, and we want to baptize him. Do you understand that was an act of them being able to say, I'm not saying anything wrong about that. They're saying, hey, listen, we're saying we recognize that you're covered by the grace of God, but understand the wrong part about it is thinking that baptism carries me through my whole life, because that was the decision that they made, not me. So when I stand today at a funeral, my heart breaks whenever someone is talking about they were baptized into Christ. Nobody can put me into Christ. I have to put myself by belief. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, that's singular, that's me, and believe in thy heart, that's me, that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made to salvation. It takes something from my mouth, from my heart, from my belief to be baptized into Christ. And then after that, God says, listen, we know by looking at the New Testament, every time that we saw someone accept and be baptized into Christ, then God wanted them to be obedient and follow the external baptism. What does that mean? That means that he wanted them to act it out as a show of faith, to say, show everybody what happened to you. What happened to you? Well, listen, I died to my old self, and I was born again. And so I came into Christ. So we take someone and we say, listen, you're buried with him by baptism. You're resurrected to walk in newness of life. Basically saying, when you put yourself into Christ, you died to your sin the same way he died to it, buried. That water is not something that washes. That water represents a grave. The grave, the only thing that washes your sins away is the blood of Jesus. And it didn't happen when somebody else did it to me. If they want to do it, I'm not saying anything about it. Don't go out of here saying, I can't believe he's saying it. That's fine if you want to do that when you're a child. That is not something that's recognized by God, even in the sense of water baptism, because understand this, Greek bapto means to immerse, submerge, and emerge. How do you do that in a couple of drops of water? Jesus, when he was baptized in Matthew chapter 3, says he went down into the water, and straightway when he came up out of the water. You say, why did Jesus have to be baptized? Jesus even stated it. Look at Matthew 3 sometime. When he came to John, and John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And he came and said, John, you need to baptize me. Read it, Matthew chapter 3 sometime. John said, hey, Jesus, I can't baptize you. Whoa, 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 whoa. No, no way. I'm not worthy. I can't baptize you. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, John, and I quote, suffer it to be so now. It must happen now, John. Why? To fulfill all righteousness. You know what Jesus was? He was our living, walking, breathing example. He was saying, all men must know that God wants you to do this. What is it? Jesus didn't have any sin to die to. No, he didn't say that he was. He was saying he was doing something for an example. He was going into the water to be obedient to what God says to do. And when he came up out of the water, you remember the story. It says, and straightway. What happened? Somebody tell me. The Spirit of God came upon him. like a dove, rested upon him. Then there was a voice, wasn't there? Let me tell you what this voice said. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Guess what God did? He put his stamp of credibility right there on that act of baptism. You say, what did it do for Jesus? It strengthened Jesus in spirit. You said, Jesus didn't have to be strengthened in spirit. Then you haven't read Luke chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 4, because the first thing it says, and then Jesus, full of the Spirit, went into the wilderness to be tempted 40 days, right? It was an act of obedience, but it was not something that symbolized our salvation. You can be baptized in the water until you know the name of every fish in every pond, and you won't go to heaven. But when you get baptized into Christ, that confession, that act of you putting yourself into, that is what brings you into relationship with God. Then what about the water baptism? That's the step of obedience after salvation. First, he requires you to believe. It's not an act. He requires something to happen on the inside that bears proof that you've put your belief into him. Is that clear? Go to the next point. You got it, right? Let's talk about what Jesus said. Mark chapter 1. I love this story because it talks about John the Baptist and Jesus. I can give you these 15 verses here, and you're going to see what was going on. And Mark starts his gospel in Mark chapter 1 by saying the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We learned last week the gospel is the story of the life of Christ, the gospel, the good news, right? The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. This is talking about John the Baptist. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John's talking about the fulfillment of the promise that was made all the way back in Genesis now. That Messiah that people thought about through the whole Old Testament, right? Prepare the way. And there went out unto him into the land of Judea and Jerusalem and were baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John, excuse me, I skipped a verse. Verse 4, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. There went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem and were baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Listen, it's not just take a number. It's not be here at 5 o'clock, we're going to put you under. I've had the privilege, and since the church began, to baptize so many that sat and were convicted. They know they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, but when they did, someone said, hey, listen, you need to get baptized. The church believes in baptism, so be here at 5 o'clock, and here's what you bring. And they didn't know anything about what they were doing. They didn't realize they were making that commitment to say, I'm burying myself. I want to reenact and show everybody what happened to me. I've died in Christ, and I've been born again. I've accepted him. I put my belief into him. I'm burying myself, and the new self is coming up. That's baptism. So they haven't. They didn't know anything about it, and so they got under conviction. They said, I need to be baptized because I didn't know what I was doing. Well, understand something. John distinctly required, listen to this, John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. There has to be some repentance. There has to be a change of mindset. You can't just go through the act of baptism. Hey, you're at a certain age, you need to be baptized. No. There has to be an act of repentance. We're going to talk about the repentance here in a second. Goes on to say, and they went out of him in the land of Judea, they of Jerusalem, and were baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And John with clothes, with camel hair, and with a girdle of skin about his loins, he did eat locust and wild honey, and he preached, saying, listen, he preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Remember, to put into, to baptize, right? And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. Straightway coming out of the water, he saw the heavens open, the Spirit like a dove descended upon him. There came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan and with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Hold on a second. Let me finish that one part before we start the new part. Jesus went in the wilderness to be tempted. And verse 13 said, he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. He went full of the Holy Spirit. He went obedient to God. He was strengthened by the Spirit by even acting out the baptism. And God said, I'm well pleased. So he went into the wilderness. And what did the devil tempt him with? The devil tempted him with all the things he tempts us with, things that we can be into. And he kept referring back during his temptation by telling the devil, listen, you can't tempt the Lord thy God. I don't provide for myself. I can't be tempted with pride. Why? Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Go back and read the temptation story sometime. Luke chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, and you'll see the devil kept tempting him the same way he tempts us. Here, you need to be into this. You need to be into this. Oh, and we can even justify it. It doesn't have to be a hobby. It could be something like our job, our children. You say, oh, well, I'm just not going to be into that. See where that into gets you into and your children into. I'm just sent to say it. You can be upset at me when you leave here or not, but he says you have to be into him. You don't believe you should be into your children? Absolutely, you should be into your children. You don't believe you should be into your job? Absolutely, you should be into your job. But not to the point to where you're not into Christ. When you're not into him. And Jesus began to preach this message. He said, I'm the fulfillment of the promise. Listen to verse 14. Mark 1. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. What was his message? Pretty good stuff here. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. What is the gospel? The good news. The good news about the kingdom of God is that we can be part of the kingdom of God. You see, understand, he came into this region. He was preaching to the Galileans. This was the most populous place located in northern Palestine. This was a mecca of activity. And he came into this preaching this message, the kingdom of God. Listen to the message. It's pretty simple. The kingdom of God. Preaching the kingdom of God. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. What is he saying? He's saying, you don't have to wait any longer. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is right now. It's not in the future. It is now. Who was speaking, saying this? The king. He's the promised Messiah. He came from Abraham's covenant with God. He's the lamb that was provided. Now he's saying, you don't have to wait anymore. The kingdom of God is at hand. You can come into the kingdom of God, but you have to come through me. He preached the message that was simple. Listen to verse 15. He said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You see, he wasn't speaking so much here about chronological time. He was saying the time that you've been hearing about, that God would send his Messiah, the Savior to this earth, to be your king and to save you, that time is here. I am here. I am the one that God sent to be your king. I have a kingdom and it starts now. What kind of news is that? That's good news. That's the gospel, right? But the other good news, and get this, the other good news is that you can come into this kingdom. In our daily walk in this kingdom of the world that we live in, we have different views and different beliefs, and there might be some in here that say, I'm Republican. Some that say, I'm Democrat, and I can't stand the way that... Understand something. None of that matters. You're going to be divided. we're all going to be divided into two categories. Those that believe and those that don't believe. Those that believe enter into the kingdom. Those that are into something else, maybe themselves, are told, as we learned last week, I never knew you. You never came into my kingdom. You never came into my kingdom. You say, well, what are you? What's your affiliation? I'd like to proclaim that my affiliation is Christian. What's your political affiliation? Christian. What's your denomination? A Christian. Don't even deserve that, but listen, I'm one of his. I came into his kingdom. He took me. I was a sinner. He washed me. He made my sins as white as snow. I keep messing up, and his grace still keeps coming. But I'm trying to live into him. And I can tell you something, as an experienced sinner, the more I have devoted my life to being into him, the more I feel him into me. And there was a time when I sat and worried because I was in control of him taking care of my family and taking care of my health and taking care of, guess what? I gave him control because I came into him and I realized he had control anyway, whether I gave it or not. So you know what? I give it to him. My family's in better hands with him than they've ever been with me. My income, my job, my security, financial security is in better hands with him than it ever has been with me. My health, everything that I would have on my physical person is in better hands with him than it is with me. Why? Well, because I have no power in and of myself, especially to be into something else. I'm into him. Oh, well, somebody's going to talk about you. I'm sure. People that aren't into him can't stand people that are into him. So you mean that I would face losing people that might not like me? Well, he did. He did. You can't ride those people's coattails to heaven. You can't ride them to a relationship with God. But I guarantee you, since I've become into him, he's given me so much better fellowship with other people that are into him, and he's given me the privilege to be able to talk to people and show them what a peace it is. And my job is to bring people to him so they can come into him. I watch lives change, marriages change, situations change. People live with joy and peace. The sad thing is that Christians that do come and put their belief into him, a lot of times take him off. He's in them, but they've taken him off. And they've been back into whatever it is they choose to wear for that period of time they believe is going to bring them pleasure. I did the same thing. Jesus preached a twofold message here. He told them to repent and believe. When we say repent, we think repent means just to say, I'm sorry, can you forgive me? But the word repentance encompasses much more. Webster says to repent is to grieve for sins committed, to feel extreme regret for what one has done, to change one's mind and regret the original decision. What we need to realize is that to repent is to change our position of belief. Jesus was standing here with a lot of people that had grown up knowing and obeying the Mosaic Covenant, knowing that is the way that we can be able to come to God and we have to come and do this. He was saying there has to be some repentance. You need to be able to change your mindset. I'm here as the fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham. You've got to stop believing that your way to come to God is through the law, and you've got to believe that your way to come to God is through me. I'm the fulfillment. That's why he said the believe part. See, to repent is to change your position on something. These conversations that you may have with somebody that doesn't believe, you will see they are in their position. Do you realize until they repent, which means to change your position? they can't come to God. Every position that we have against God is an intellectual position. We are saying in our mind, I just can't get it because I believe this. Then you're believing against God until you repent of your belief saying that I can come to God another way or that I can do this, until you repent and change your position and believe you can't be a part of the kingdom of God. That thing we started with at the beginning where everybody says, oh yes, we're all God's children. Doesn't that sound good? Let's come in today and here's our songs we're going to sing and we're going to stand up and it's going to feel great just to come in here. We're going to worship together. We're going to do these things together. Listen, everybody is included. If you want to sing this praise to God and worship God, then you're God's child, or everybody on God's green earth is God's child. No matter what you believe, we're all God's children. Understand, that is a fallacy. You can't come into the kingdom of God, the family of God, until you come and accept the promise that Jesus himself was saying, you have to repent and believe, I'm the only way. Amen. As much as he was saying it to those who believed and never changed their belief. We know from the Pharisees, they never changed their belief. They denied what Jesus was saying. They didn't accept it. But even today, we don't accept it because we're into so many other things. The message is still the same. You've got to change your position of belief to him, to be into him. And you've got to believe. Jesus came to this earth as the Son of God, sent by God. He lived out the gospel. He preached that it was happening as he preached. He's saying, I am the fulfillment of the kingdom of God. The time is at hand. It starts right now. Guess what? It's still going on right now. But it could end today. What do you mean end today? The Bible tells me that, hey, there's something that's going to happen. I'm going to leave this earth one of two ways, but I'm not staying here. I might drop in front of you today. Might happen. Might drop in front of you today. Body might just give up life. You guys can decide what to do. I'm sure there'll be a plan put in place. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells me that when that happens, to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. Why? I made a decision one day to come into his kingdom through Jesus Christ. But if it doesn't happen, I'm going to leave another way, because the Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4, that in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, it says the Lord is going to appear. The dead in Christ will arise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him. So shall we ever be with the Lord. He tells us there will be a time he's coming back. When can it happen? I sure hope it doesn't happen while we're into something else. I sure hope it doesn't happen when we're into something else. Man, we have fervor and we have zeal when we are into something, don't we? We even teach our children, that's my team, that's my team. We're into it. Nothing wrong with that. But when you can have church services as quiet as we do, and then all you have to do is bring up something that you're into, and all of a sudden there's a level of excitement. Everybody's not into. Everybody's not into. So, you can't judge that. That baseball, football, basketball team that you support, if they finished playing their game and they walked off that court, they're your children, and they knew that during the whole time, the whole stands were quiet and nobody cheered for them, and when that person made the basket, guess what? You'd find them stopping in the middle and turning around and think, what's going on with the crowd, right? Because they want you to be what? They want you to be what? They want you to be what? And we are. You get where I'm coming at? Are you into him? Have you put yourself into him? Jesus said, you have to come to me, put yourself into me. Paul said, you have to put him on, put yourself into him. It doesn't come just by saying, I'm a good person, or somebody put me into him when I was a kid, or I've learned this or that. No, listen, the baptism of the Holy Spirit happens when you put yourself into him. You are baptized into Christ. Now, he asks you to follow that baptism and show the rest of the world after that happens into you. But understand, you need to make sure of the one thing first, that you've put your belief into him. That's what matters. How many people have put your belief into him? Well, let me ask you. Yeah, this is for that person that has never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're not sure. Understand, Jesus died for you. God loves you. God made a promise back 6,000 years ago that said, hey, listen, I love you. I'm making a way for you to come back into fellowship with me. As Ron prayed this morning, that unrighteous act where sin came into the world, Jesus Christ, the Bible says that he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Are you into him? Have you put yourself in him? Everybody should know if you have, but especially God should know. Now, what are you into? Have you come into him, Christian? You put your belief into him, where he came into you, then are you into him? I'll tell you what, everybody in the community knows when you got a church full of people that are into Jesus. I'll tell you what, everybody in your workplace knows when you got somebody working there that's into Jesus. I'll tell you what, everybody in the family knows when you got somebody, a parent, that's into Jesus. Everybody in the neighborhood, they know when you got here's a house that's into Jesus. Why? Because they watched to see if you left this morning. What are you into? If you want to be into Christ, understand that God, he made a way for you. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Change your mind about coming to God and say, listen, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe my only way to come to you, Father, is through Jesus Christ. He was that lamb sacrificed, and I want to accept him as my Savior. You have to believe it. If you do that, you confess with your mouth that you're a sinner, you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, he'll save you today. He'll come into you if you put your belief into him. And I'm going to be standing down here today. If you're unsure of that and want to, the gospel's been presented to you today, you can leave here knowing you've put your life into him. I won't bring you into that. God made a promise long ago that will bring you. I just want to steer you. Why? He tells all of us after we receive the gospel, put it into us, we need to go and preach the gospel. But there's a lot of people here that have received it. Our question needs to be, Christians, are we into him? Would God say that we're into him? If we're not, it's a good time to come talk to him. Make that covenant. Rededicate your life to being into him. All these other things will take care of themselves. And if you're into him right now, you got the best prayer line in the whole building. You need to be up here praying. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I love you, I praise you, and I thank you, God, for giving us the promise that you will come into us and bring us into your kingdom. You know we get distracted in life and we become distracted by things that we are into. God, we know that as your gospel is preached and we've heard it, we came into your kingdom. We know, God, that you want us to stay covered by you. You want us to stay focused on you. I pray, God, this morning you would show us areas that we can be into you more. And Lord, for that person that's listening that's never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray, God, this morning they accept that promise made way back to Abraham. They accept that promise, God, that brings him into them, and they put their belief into him. In Jesus' name, amen.